It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
We are back for another week of Catholic Sports Weekly, and you might be able to tell, I got a little bit under the weather this week. I'm Will Hampton, glad to be talking sports with you again, and a pretty good week if you're a sports fan in these areas, because the Colts finally get the Reich guy, if you will. Frank Reich is now the new head coach of your Indianapolis Colts, and he comes here from the Eagles. He was the Eagles offensive coordinator where they just won the Super Bowl. So I think Frank Reich is the right guy. You know, so much said about Josh McDaniels. We talked about that a little bit on last week's show, but it kind of was all breaking right in the middle of when we were taping the show and stuff. And now this is official that Josh McDaniels is going to stay in New England. And all things that considered, I think all of us are kind of happy he did, and we're excited, because if you have that kind of character where you can tell a guy like Ballard that I'm going to come, but then I'm not. This just was bad form all the way around. So I think Frank Reich is the good guy, and you know, I covered him briefly. I'm dating myself here, but I covered him when he played for the Carolina Panthers back in 1995, and I liked him instantly. He was a young man, and now he's kind of got out. He got out after he played. He took like 10 years off before he started getting into the coaching field, and so he's an interesting guy. He calls himself a devout Christian. In Charlotte, he actually went to seminary and earned a Master of Divinity degree. So Frank Reich, again, part of that Eagles group that wears their faith on the sleeve. We talked a lot about that last week. You know, Father Tom Barcelona is the team chaplain for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm sure he spent a lot of time with Frank Reich when he was the offensive coordinator with the Eagles. And he just part of that group that you saw with the quarterback and the coach and Frank Reich, where faith is a huge part of their life. And I think he is going to bring that to Indianapolis, and I think that will help the Indianapolis Colts organization by far. Sure, he's probably a great football coach, knows all the X's and O's, but all of us know it starts with what kind of person you are first, and it sure looks like Frank Reich is a great person first. Reminds me a little bit of Tony Dungy, doesn't he? So welcome to Frank Reich, the new head coach of the Colts. Have you been watching the Olympics at all? Well, did you see we have a young snowboarding champion, Red Girard, 17 years old, won the first gold for Team USA in the snowboarding. And we got a chance to kind of sneak peek. Here's a little bit of the taste of an interview he had with the NBC's Today Show.
So much. You were just sharing the medal with Natalie, and I couldn't believe how heavy it is. How does it feel hanging around your neck?
My neck's getting a little tired, to be honest. Yeah, it's quite a heavy one, but psyched to have it around the neck for sure.
One of the hazards of being a gold medal winner, some neck pain,
Yeah.
So you're a young guy who said, you know, I don't really follow the Olympics. I'm more of an X Games guy. Your dad said you weren't that into the Olympics. Do you get now how big a deal it is to win a gold medal at the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. I soon got right after I got on the podium up at the mountain. I've been taken into all these interviews, and I think I'm now realizing how big the Olympics actually is.
Did you know you are the youngest man to win a gold medal at Winter Olympic Games since 1928? A guy named Billy Fisk, who was a bobsledder.
I heard about that. Yeah,
How does that hit you? That's 90 years.
That probably hits me. That hits me a lot. I'm pretty happy on that. It's pretty cool to be young and win a medal for sure.
So let's talk about your run, because your first two you weren't happy with. So you came into that third run, you were in 11th of 12th place, and the 12th guy was out. Yeah. So you basically were in last place coming in. Does that feel like pressure to you on that third run?
It was more I just wanted to land a run, you know. Kind of would have been pretty crappy to fly all the way out here and not land three runs. And my first two runs, I just had some problems. It was really windy today, and the wind was kind of messing with me, but I got a nice break on my third run and landed. So
tell me about the move everyone's talking about. Backside triple cork 1440. Well, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's been around for like 3 years now. It's three flips, a couple spins in the mix. Get a little dizzy doing it, and you just kind of land. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
You have a contingent of, I think, 18 people, right?
Yeah.
You're the youngest of five brothers, two sisters, seven kids, and everybody's here.
Yeah.
What's the party been like today?
It's been crazy. I woke up this morning. Actually, I didn't wake up. I was already on the bus ride up to the mountain, but I woke up and they were already shotgunning beers. They're all over. They've been partying since like 8:30.
So they're already passed out because that was early
yeah,
this morning.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so you're not even going to see your family at the
no,
end.
No. My mom and dad made it there. Everyone else is sleeping. Yeah.
Only two of them left standing
exactly,
at the end of
yeah,
this day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw. You grew up when you were young mm-hmm. in Ohio.
Yeah.
Your hometown there, Rocky River. They were inside a bar. We've got some footage we can show you. They had a watch party. And they just went absolutely nuts.
I heard about this. Yeah, I didn't even know about it, to be honest. I was mind blown that everyone went. Yeah, there it is.
What do you think when you see that?
I'm just happy people showed up. And if I would have known about that, I would have been all stressed out. So good thing I didn't, I guess. Huh?
17 years old and the youngest gold medal winner since 1928. Congratulations, my man.
Thank you so much.
Go have fun with your family, all right?
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Red.
Sounds like the family's having all the fun right now. That is Red Gerard, courtesy, of course, of NBC and the Today Show, an interview that he had after he won the gold medal in the snowboarding. I don't know about you in the Olympics. I like most of it. It seems like every time I turn in to NBC or one of their other channels, it seems like they're doing something other than an American. It seems like it's some other country. But I love, I think it's what I've fallen in love with the most. I like the luge. That's really, really neat. Curling seems to be something that everybody likes for some reason. I mean, would you ever, if it's in the middle of July and you're flipping through the channels and you came upon curling, would you watch it? I'm not sure if you would, but because it's the Olympic Games, because it's Team USA or whatever who else is out there, you seem to get latched on to curling for some reason. But it is kind of fun to watch. Hey, girls high school basketball down to their state finals, down to their semifinal range. We're keeping an eye on that, and the local teams is there. We'll have more on that as the weeks go on to salute the champions. I know a good friend of mine, a guy who's on this show, Charlie Adams, his daughter plays for Penn up in northern Indiana, and they're into the semifinals. They play Zionsville this weekend, so we'll be watching Penn against Zionsville and young Grace Adams. She's just a freshman, starts for the Penn team. So good luck to them as they move forward, maybe, perhaps, we'll see. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you might remember this name. You definitely will remember the voice the minute you hear it. His name is Jim Barber, and he does a lot of college basketball on ESPN and other entities. And he's going to join us next when we continue here on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Radio is one of the biggest tools that God uses to get truth and hope in life.
To get the truths and the promises of God
into the ears and the hearts of people driving around.
Into the hearts of people through these airways.
Catholic Radio, Indy.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. We've talked a little Colts. We've talked Frank Reich is the new head man, the new coach of your Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, the Olympics are so much fun. But, you know, it is Indiana. It is February, which means it's basketball season. And it's my pleasure to welcome Jim Barber to Catholic Sports Weekly. You and I saw each other at St. Matthew maybe a month ago. And I said, hey, we got to get you on the show to talk a little sports. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing good, Will. It's a nice little reunion, unexpected. I was there with our younger daughter and also part of participation for CYO is all parents are expected to be involved, and it's good to get a chance to see you again.
Well, people remember you, I'm sure, and they see you all the time still, but you and I are both Wish TV alums. You were there before
That's
me.
True.
And you former sportscaster at Channel 8, and now you do really exclusively play-by-play, right? Are you doing any shows still? Or kind of give our listeners a little bit about what's going on with Jim Barber these days.
It's all play-by-play, Will. It's based on assignments, contract that calls for X amount of availabilities, and do just about any sport that they ask. In fact, I'll do track and field next weekend.
Oh, wow.
Birmingham, Alabama, after a weekend of basketball. And but now with the company, the vision of ESPN since 1995, so really fortunate. They've been through a lot of cutbacks during the last few years, and it's nice to still be part of the team. And sometimes just being associated with them, even at a lower level, is pretty special.
Well, I imagine as a guy that grew up, you know, thinking sportscasting was maybe what you wanted to do, the actual play-by-play game day coverage, to get a chance to do a game, I've been fortunate along my career to be able to do some, not as near as much as you've been able to do, but there's really nothing like game day, and there's nothing like calling the game and being part of the action, is there?
I really enjoy it. I think it's true, Will. I think it's probably the goal of most people, certainly was of mine, and when Wish TV decided not to renew my contract in 1990, I spent 10 years there as a weekend anchor and kind of a backup anchor for the main guys. I remember they were asking me, what do you plan to do next? And I had been to a sportscaster's camp 2 years prior to my departure in 88 out in Los Angeles. I really was kind of testing the waters there, wanting to see if maybe I had some ability to do play-by-play on a regular basis. And met a lot of good people out there, some of the Los Angeles media, and they were pretty high on what I was doing. And so when I was let go, it was like, well, maybe I should just go for my ambition, something I've always wanted to do. And I started doing some high school football and basketball, and then Purdue had an opening with Raycom Sports, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Jim Barber, local sportscaster, national sportscaster. You live here in Indianapolis. You go to church at St. Matthew. You briefly mentioned CYO. You said you have a daughter that's doing CYO. Is she basketball, volleyball? What's she doing?
A little bit of everything. She's volleyball. She's kickball. Now they're going to start a softball team for her seventh graders at St. Matthew. And I admire her courage. I mean, she really wants to put herself out for just about every sport. And I think that just her athletic ambition is exciting because eventually academics will be her thing. She's done superbly in her grades. And I think when it comes to athletics, many are called but few are chosen. She might be able to play some sports in high school, but right now she has fun. She plays with her buddies. She has a late-night volleyball game tonight at Christ the King, and she gets excited and nervous before every event. And so just to be part of it, I think, is really, really exciting.
Now, how are you as a CYO parent? People laugh when I say that because I'm the world's worst. I'm the guy on the officials most of the game.
But my wife uses me about getting more on the officials and getting more on the team. And sometimes parents will say, you know, your daughter needs to be in this position here, and you ought to tell her about it. And I said, you know what? There's only one coach out there, and it's not me.
Yeah.
And I just think it's hard. When you have a daughter who's almost 13, I mean, it's tough being a young girl anyway. I try not to put too many thoughts in her head, especially when it comes to sports. And I think if I could do a better job as coach, I would be out there doing it. So
yeah.
I really try to do a hands-off. And you know, both you and I have been around coaches for a long period of time and certainly know that sometimes, you know, they know what they're doing. Most of the time they know what they're doing. And when it's volunteer, it's really hard for me to get involved and to mess around with anybody. And when it comes to refereeing, I don't say anything because I don't want to be shoot out of an arena, you know, because of bad sportsmanship.
Talking with Jim Barber, sportscaster, and faith is important to you. I can tell it is, just by the way you get involved with your daughter's life and at CYO at St. Matthew. How have you been able to kind of keep, you know, when you travel, when you're doing the things that you have to do in your career and keep faith first in your life? I talked about Frank Reich, and here's a guy that really comes here with he's a devout Christian. See, it feels a little bit like when Tony Dungy came here. But how do you personally keep it, you know, in the front?
I can't see living without it, Will. right now we're going through a situation where my wife has had mastectomy just a couple of weeks ago, and the prayers have been offered for her from friends and family, and particularly the St. Matthew community have been just sensational. She said when she went into the operating room, she felt that that overwhelming support and faith, and felt that God was right next to her when it was happening, and she came through it, and for the next several years, they're going to keep a close watch on her so that the other breast isn't a situation where that has to be taken out of.
Yeah,
I think it's situations like that, when you see somebody close to you go through something that's really difficult, that faith is overwhelmingly significant. Christ has been there for me in all situations, but particularly in some trials and tribulations in my own life the past few years. And I think it's the X factor a lot of times. I think that when things aren't going as well as you'd like, or maybe somewhere in your career there's some challenges that you didn't expect, having him to lean on, knowing he's next to you through everything is all the world, because it makes a lot of the things we take so seriously not nearly as important, understanding that, you know, heaven should be our goal and our salvation, and not necessarily, certainly not what's going on here on earth. So having faith, I can't imagine being without it. I really can't. I don't know what it's like. And I hope that continues the rest of my life, because I know how important he is to me and he is to our family.
Well, God bless you and what is your wife's name?
It's Amy.
Okay, well, God bless her as well. And that's such a neat story to hear, how she felt the power of the prayer. And I know that our listeners here will continue to pray for you and your family as you continue. I mean, this is something you have to watch, like you said, the rest of her life and your life probably, right?
Yes, I appreciate that. And there are good and bad days. In fact, they seem to alternate for her in recovery. One day's a good day, and the next day there's a lot of pain. And so it goes back and forth. But they say the recovery process is 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, I've kept a list of emails and texts on my phone and also on computer. And they have a meal train that the families participate in, a lot of the women. And it's just fascinating to see them come through with meals that they bring to the house. It's sometimes I think for my wife it's a little overwhelming, but she's already thought about, well, when I do get well, I'm going to have everybody over and I'm going to be the cook. So,
well, that's neat.
I hope that that happens soon, and God bless everybody who's thinking about us, particularly you and your audience, because the prayers, they cannot be underplayed how important they are.
Well, I think I had a couple priests in here a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about youth, and when they come out of some of these retreats, and the power that they feel, they're kind of on a very high as far as their faith life goes, and the question is, well, how do you maintain that? How do you keep it going? And their answer immediately was, well, prayer. And as Catholics, yep, I think we really believe in the power of prayer, don't we? And it'd be terrible if you didn't, wouldn't it?
I can't imagine being without it. I do think there's a good part of my life where I didn't have much in it. I didn't attend Mass on a regular basis. In fact, I didn't attend Mass at all. And I remember what it was like, and I look back on it now, it was a pretty empty time. I think being a single guy and feeling that you can do just about anything you want, mm-hmm, a lot of times got in the way, because you discarded God, and you didn't recognize, I always believed in him, but you didn't recognize how important he could be in guiding you to do the right things. And now as a dad and as a husband and as a member of the church, you really start to understand the importance of walking with him and trying to do his will. And certainly not perfect and still make mistakes and still sin, but recognizing every day that he's there and he's willing to forgive is just so overwhelming, because I like to think that I'm not on the back nine of my life, but I am. And when it does come time to be called, I want to be called by him.
I'd say you're on hole 6 or 7. You haven't made the turn yet. Come on.
Well, you know what? It's a 63, Will. So I told my daughter I plan on living to be a 130.
There you go.
So I'll be able to see her entire life plus plus a few extra years, depending on who goes first. But we're such older parents. I'm an older parent anyway, yeah, that I know I won't be there for her entire life. So you really appreciate just having an almost teenager here. I mean, we were given a miracle in her birth. She was healthy. She's a smart kid. She's a lot of fun to be around. And I understand why Christ has loved children because we laugh at a lot of things she says. We laugh with her, and we would not trade this time we've had for almost 13 years for anything else in the world.
Wow, that's neat. Talk with Jim Barber, parishioner at St. Matthew, and, of course, sportscaster. Hey, we've only got a few more minutes here. What team have you seen this year in your broadcasting that you say, hey, there's a team that maybe nobody's talking about that can make a run in the NCAA tournament? Is there anybody in the men's basketball draw that has kind of turned your head a little bit?
I think the team that's most difficult to face is Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati's being talked about because the Bearcats are now in the top five, but that whole town with Xavier and Cincinnati, I think, ranked 4 and 5,
yep,
or pretty close to that, coming into this week. I think Cincinnati is dangerous because of the past. Nick Cronin's teams have always been good defensively, but this team can score. And as a result, when they get in half-court games in late March and early April, if they get that far, I think they're going to be tough to beat. I think right now, according to Joe Lenardi, the ESPN bracket, how this the 2 or 3 seed. And again, they're not like they're a secret because they are being discussed, but I think they could probably win the national championship because it's just so difficult,
wow,
to get points against. I mean, they can shut people down for long periods of time. Cronin, I think, is a terrific coach. I've known him for a long time, particularly when his teams were really bad when he first came to Cincinnati. And so I think he's got something special going there. So my favorites right now, teams I've seen, would be UC.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting pick. And as far as other teams, of course, Villanova looks really good. Butler, you never know what they're going to do. They look good. And, of course, you got some of the big dogs like Kansas and others. It will be an interesting NCAA tournament here in about a month.
It should be a lot of fun. I think Purdue's got potential to go a long way. They've got a senior-laden team. And typically in tournaments, teams with a lot of veterans do very well because they don't fold. And they know each other well. And I think Purdue's last two losses are nothing to worry about.
No.
Ohio State's really good. And beating Michigan State on the road was really difficult. Their two losses have come with 3 seconds or less in the last week, so last two defeats. So I think Purdue still has an opportunity. Duke is always good in the NCAA tournament. Experience usually plays out, and also the fact that you've got some history with the program, and that would favor schools like Villanova and Duke and Michigan State.
Yeah. It will be fun in just a few weeks. We're not too far away. And, Jim, I know you're saying go with Cincinnati to at least the Final Four. Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to be getting an opportunity to go to Detroit to see the opening round. So I'm hoping that Purdue and Michigan State both get placed there, at least one of the Big Ten teams. But if I had to pick somebody, I'd probably favor Cincinnati. And Xavier's right there, too, because Cincinnati and Xavier played early in the season and X1 going away by almost 20. So those two teams are really pretty impressive to watch. And Wichita State in the same league as Cincinnati now in the American is really tough, too. They remind me a lot of the Bearcats, where it's just difficult to get points against. And those kind of teams are, when they get to March and April, they may not score as much, but they certainly can defend.
Yeah. They always say that to pick teams with good guards. Is that still the old adage, you think?
I think so. I think that the teams that have not only good guards, but also NBA-like players, particularly the guard position, are almost difficult to beat at any instance. And, when you see experience, particularly Purdue's guards, guys can shoot the ball, people that can create their own shots, a lot of the other teams, Cincinnati has, I think, one or two like that, then they're going to be the type of teams that, barring anything unforeseen, can go a long way. The tournament's a crapshoot anyway, but I think the thing that comes into play is not only is what is your draw,
yeah,
but can you turn around in a period of 2 days and win that second game of a week because you're playing nearly back-to-back. So endurance has something to do with it. I think experience of coaches, guys who know what the limelight looks like when it's late March, early April. Guys like Rick Pitino, when he was coaching, very difficult to beat because they can handle pressure. Roy Williams comes to mind. I mean, you never count them out.
No.
Because they've been there. He knows how to handle those times. And with people like that, with all that experience and Hall of Fame stature, man, you wouldn't want to go up against them and not be on your best.
Yep. Well, Jim, thank you very much. God bless you and your family, and good luck and be safe on the road.
You as well, Will, and thanks for having me here today.
As Jim Barber, local sportscaster, parishioner at St. Matthew, and look for him on ESPN calling your team's favorite game. We're going to take a break. We're back with the conclusion of Catholic Sports Weekly right after this timeout. Weekly.
40 Days for Life is a campaign of peaceful prayer vigils held at the site of abortion providers throughout the world with the goal of eliminating abortion. Here in Central Indiana, the Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign will run from Ash Wednesday, February 14th, through Palm Sunday, March 25th. Would you consider making this campaign a part of your Lenten observance? Go to 40daysindy.org for more information. That's 40daysindy.org.
Since 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America has been rating movies based on violence, language, sexual content, etc. But what if their judgment as to what's appropriate for your family is different from yours? Wouldn't it be nice to get a second opinion? Maybe one from a Catholic perspective. Catholic News Service and the former Office of Film and Broadcasting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have teamed up to continue the tradition of giving every movie a rating, one that you might find much more appropriate for your family. Where can you find these ratings? The easiest place is right on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Right on the opening page, just look for the yellow Movie Ratings tab. When the kids ask, "Hey, can we go to the movies?" or you just want to go yourself, check out the Catholic movie ratings at CatholicRadioIndy.org. It never hurts to get a second opinion.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
And we're back here on Catholic Sports Weekly. And again, thanks to Jim Barber for joining us on this week's show. What an interesting guy. He worked at Wish TV Channel 8 a long time ago. And then God closed the door, opened a window, and put him in the broadcast booth to do a play-by-play for, really track and field he's doing this weekend. College basketball, you hear him a lot on ESPN. His wife, Amy, is going through a lot of health concerns right now. She looks like she's doing well, but I do want you to continue to put Amy Barber in your prayers as she battles breast cancer. So, again, to her and her family, God bless you guys. And thank you, Jim, for joining us on the show. Welcome, Frank Reich, to Indianapolis. Hope you're here for a long, long time. That'll do it for this week. We'll catch you next week, hopefully with a better voice, on Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.